Everybody, we're here in the barrel room, the new room at Interstate Music. There's an inside joke to that, people. And I am here with Alexis Wilkins. And first of all, welcome back. This is actually, is this your second or third time?
This is my second.
It feels like it's your third.
I feel know.
Like I feel like we should have had you back another time, so this was your third. So I feel bad. So now, which means we've got to have you back for a third time.
Perfect. I love it. This worked out for me.
It's good. So you've got some new music that has recently come out.
Mm-hmm.
What were you focused on when you actually put all that together? Because there's this core of almost like a purpose or a principle that you have in your music already. But mm-hmm. this really, to me, it really kind of, it got really personal. It felt it was like you to the core.
Yeah. Grit, the EP collection of songs, had to come out at once to me because yeah. we wrote it as a project. All of the songs were centered around, you know, even if they were love songs or sadder songs, they were centered around this idea of kind of toughness.
Yes.
And so you have that edge to everything. You know, Love Me is a softer song, but it's got this, like, kind of attitude where it plays coy. And it's not playing victim in it. It's just kind of saying it how it is. And so all of the songs really center around that idea. And in order for people to understand who I am and have the context for more music that I'm going to be putting out soon, even if I drop things one by one, you know, ones and twos, I wanted them to have the context of who I am. And so that was Grit for me.
And it's, I'll tell you what, that there's a lot of solid music that you've been putting out. I mean, really good music.
Hey.
And if you're radio out there, like, seriously, start spinning this music. And I know, go out to Spotify and all these platforms to download it yourself, but radio needs to jump on your stuff.
Thank you.
It's driving me crazy, honestly. So tell me about this, the Country Back song that you've got out now.
Country Back has been fun. It's been such a piece of who I am, you know, to say I love all country music. I really do. But for me, I would like more fiddle and steel on the radio yeah. and in my music, which we literally say in the song. And you know, I'm very patriotic. I love the country
yeah,
I live
absolutely.
In. I love America. And so for me, it was a no-brainer to go, okay, yeah, I want my country back. We're writing it. We're putting it out. It's going to go on this EP. Just kind of in that context of giving people a flavor of who I am. And it's so much of what I do anyway. And it's really been cool to see something that I believe in so much connect with people who love country music and love the message. And, you know, it doesn't
Absolutely.
Really matter where I sing it. In small towns, big cities, people just really connect with it, which has been incredible to see.
And I know it seems crazy for me to say what I'm about to say. If you pull the patriotic aspect out of it, the lyrics literally hit home personally, because I'm 55. I'm from growing up in the 80s when you're talking, you're like speaking to me in these lyrics mm-hmm. where it's just like, remember when everything was just simpler, when
yeah.
people weren't pointing fingers and people were just hanging out and we felt safe where we lived in our hometowns and the neighbors were our neighbors and you knew who their names and you know, they were asking you to come shovel their driveway. They had lemonade waiting for you if you cut their grass. And it's something that just feels like it's missing from the generation that I grew up in.
Yeah.
And that song, like, draws that out of me. Like, that's, you know, the patriotic aspect is, it's obvious, sure.
Yeah.
But that just back home, that good feeling about where I think we all deep down should want to get back to and care about
yeah.
and say, hey, we had it. Let's get our country back in the sense, let's get our home life. Let's get who we are back as much as anything.
Absolutely. And that's great to hear too, because when we were writing the lyrics, it really was centered around, you know, just what people default to wanting, like, peace
yeah.
in their lives.
Yes.
Like, you go to, you know, whether it's you're talking about the music you listen to or politics or the way that everything goes, and people have these huge opinions, and I totally respect it because, you know, we all have big opinions on a lot
right.
of things.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, everyone's default is like, you know, you want to just get along with people.
Yeah, right.
Ideally, we'd love to not have these be huge red flag opinion news stories, headlines to
right.
have to focus on. And so I'm glad that that's what comes out of Country Back for you, because yeah, I mean, there's a line in the song that's, you know, people did the right thing. We looked at each other and found common ground.
Right.
Getting into today, we're not that different.
No.
You know, all of us and the opinions you hear don't even differ that much.
When my parents were sitting there watching my Little League baseball games in the stands with all these parents, nobody was even thinking about anything except watching their kids play on the same team together.
Exactly.
And then you'd have ice cream afterwards. You'd go to the backyard cookouts, and everybody would just, and these types of topics that we focus our entire lives on now just weren't part of that time of our lives. Sure.
Yeah.
It had its place, but there was times when it didn't blend into everything.
Exactly. It wasn't the whole bleed of,
right.
You know, you got all of that. You just have normal life culture, you know, like
yeah.
You're saying, you just go, you live your life, and everything else was kind of background noise. You knew it was happening, but
yep.
You know, and now it's just such a prerequisite to having like a position in society,
right.
To like have this fully formed opinion, and you know, whether it's actually fully formed or not, it doesn't really matter. It's
right.
Just you're like required to comment
to pick
on these
this
things.
Or pick that,
exactly.
Be this or be that, and
it's
tough. But you know what? I appreciate, and I want to thank you for that song personally, because
yeah.
that literally, like, that's what hits me. And when I play that song, it brings me all the way back to literally like those Little League games and those backyard parties and stuff,
mm-hmm.
with the neighbors and stuff. And I love it. Now you've got
I love that.
A little song about a Stetson.
Yes,
that,
I do.
That number one. I mean, that is country through and through. I mean, and it is that, it's almost, it ties into that love of cowboys, if you will,
yeah.
Love of just the country music. It really kind of brings in that heart of like the soul of country music,
yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Thank you. I love singing that song live. It's so fun. And I talk a lot about, you know, the spirit, like, of cowboyness. Is that a thing? Cowboyness.
Sure,
yeah,
it is now.
It's a thing now. The spirit of cowboyness, and I love John Wayne, and I think that, you know, you don't have to be a cowboy to be a cowboy. Like, having that cowboy spirit is really what does it. However, having a song that does exemplify, like, a Stetson was a big deal for me, because I wear Stetsons, I love it, and so having the hat in it, in the cowboy spirit, I think was fun to incorporate.
So what are you doing outside of writing, producing new music, and figuring out what you're doing in the music industry?
Mm-hmm.
Because we'll get to some things that you're doing project-wise, but outside of music, you stay so involved in community and giving back and participating. What are some of the things that you're most focused on now outside of music?
So I continue my work with veterans.
Yep.
It's really the reason, it's my why, it's the reason that I do. I say that a lot, but it's because it's true. It's the reason that all of this, you know, continues to make sense. It's
right.
An industry that's crazy, right?
Yep.
And so the reason always has to be bigger for me personally. And so that's it. So working with veterans, I still work with Warrior Rounds, which is an organization started by JT Cooper, who was in real life Black Hawk Down. He was over in Somalia for that, and he came back and started this organization for other veterans to be paired with songwriters to write stories about their experiences.
Quick question.
Yeah.
When you write these songs, are they being recorded and for them to be able to take home or have? Like, what happens to those songs after you write them, and where do they go? And can any of us ever hear them?
Yes, so we have right now on anywhere you stream music, Warrior Rounds Volume 1, which you'll hear my song Pictures that I wrote with the Kajewska kids, and a bunch of other songs that were written with veterans on a couple of the last retreats, and they're really, you know, powerful collection of songs. It's, I think it's about 10 or 12 of them. And we're planning on doing that again, so we'll move on to Volume 2. When we write, we have we do a writing retreat. We have a show that follows directly, you know, in the couple
yep.
of months after, where we invite all the veterans and their families. We invite, you know, just supporters of Warrior
yep.
Rounds, and we put it up on stage so that they can see it.
That's
awesome. And it's somewhat of a fundraiser in order to put these on tape,
right.
and do other things. You know, there's we work in veterans' lives in other ways, but to really have this all be a thing so that they can get their art back and get their stories back and be able to wrap their hands around them.
And how many artists are participating in this? I mean, is this rather like a small kind of mission project that you're part of? How many artists are doing this, and is it just spread throughout the year? Is it spread throughout the country?
Right now, it's mostly centered around Nashville. Okay. And then if we have veterans that live farther away, they'll come to town for it. Okay. So the retreats are happening mostly in Nashville, and then the fundraisers as well. Hopefully, it would be something that would be able to spread. But because Absolutely. We're doing it in such a organic way, you know, there's not a lot of overhead. There's Yep. good fundraising, but JT's such a good guy, and he's just like trying to do it where it all funnels right back into it. And so the way that it kind of has to happen is organically.
Right.
And so we do, you know, do the retreat and then the show and then the recording from kind of that process of fundraising. So hopefully it would move more nationally,
Absolutely.
Especially as we, you know, hopefully gain partners on it and be able to show, you know, just what a difference it's making, because it's incredible to see.
You're not just country music. You're not just out there kind of living that lifestyle in your music. You're actually, you've got a vintage pickup truck. You've got when did you start getting to be, you know, this old soul country pickup truck girl? And what year is that truck?
The truck is an 89.
Okay.
So it is a 89 F-150 Lariat. And I love it.
With a little bit of sense.
Lariat. And I love it so much. I got it maybe, a couple years ago now.
Okay.
And the story behind the truck itself is that my papa growing up had this Hunter Green F-150. And I love it. And I have always loved it. And it's just, I wanted one so bad because it reminded me of him.
Right.
And my whole thing is, like, if you, like, know old trucks, like, they all smell the same. So
yeah.
It's like you're not... Me not driving my papa's truck everywhere and it being a different old truck, like, it doesn't smell any different.
Right.
All of
True.
These old trucks True. Smell exactly the same dustiness, and, like, you know, it doesn't matter how much you clean them, it's what you get.
It's that feeling that you get when you get in it.
Exactly.
Period.
You know, the certain sounds, like the sounds of the door and crank windows, it's great. And so that's where it came from.
Have you thought about writing a song about that whole scenario?
Well, it's funny you say that. So I wrote a couple of days ago, literally days ago. I've had the title forever, like not title, but the idea
Yep.
forever, about how, you know, old trucks all smell the same. And, you know, it's just really being grateful for how much things change in the world,
Right.
but the things that really stay the same.
Yep.
And that's where the title ended up being around, is just like, you know, thank God for the things that never change.
Yep.
And so I had sat on it forever wanting to write a song about exactly that.
Right.
But saying the word smell in a song, like, it kind of sounds like it's going to be a bad smell. Like, no matter how you cut it, like, saying smell
Yep.
in a song, you're like, smell. It's just, it's not a cute word.
No, it's probably not.
You have to, like, the cadence had to be right for it to not be like, wow, that truck probably stinks, you know?
Well, so, you know, some trucks have a smell that does kind of stink. But,
exactly.
You know, but the doors still sound the same.
Exactly. That's what I probably should have said. But, yeah, so very recently a song has been written with that sentiment.
And when you start to kind of live that country life and just that persona, how much of it, like, kind of lends itself to, you know, just going out and, like, when you have your alone time and where you find peace and, like, where you find kind of your happiness and being able to kind of be one with yourself and just kind of think and take a deep breath, where is that place for you? And you'll screw this whole statement up if it's, like, in the middle of downtown with a busy street over an iced coffee.
You painted this beautiful picture and watched me be like, I love going out on Broadway.
This is how much I do not prep for any interviews I do. She might be exactly against everything I talk about. I hate the farm life. It smells like cow poop. You know, it's like all the things. So, but what is, like, where do you go take your deep breath?
I actually really like the smell of cow poop, so it's okay.
I knew this about you.
Yeah, definitely a fan. No, you know what's funny is I love the truck. It's one of those things where you're kind of right. I don't get to drive it enough between, like, being home and not
Right.
being home and everything being busy anyway. honestly, it's just being home. Like, it gets to the point where you don't have a ton of time just stationary at home, where you're not unpacking for something, you're not packing for something, you're not doing a million things while you're home. But if there's a couple of days where it's just, you know, everything's kind of done.
Right.
Already, you know, filmed something I'm working on, recorded something, had to write, got back into town, repacked. Like, when that's always, when that's kind of all done, it's really just being home and, like, seeing my family. And that's like, kind of it.
And you are so active, whether it's writing blog posts, whether it's continuing to research. And it's not just researching what's going on now. You're big into the history of everything we've come from, where things are now, you know, finding something that kind of blends the two together, mm-hmm. that seems like it makes sense to piece it. But you do a lot of writing.
Yeah.
Where did you get the love of writing? Did that come from a love of reading?
Yes.
Okay.
That's 100% the case. Yeah, I think I loved stories, but not, you know, I was never, even when I was little, I was never huge into fiction. Like, okay. I like fiction fine, but I was just never, I loved, you know, historical books. My papa was a big reader. My parents are big readers, and they were very big proponents of me also reading. And so with school, I mean, I can remember back to, you know, really, really young, because I grew up when I was really little in England. And when you're in England, you go to school whenever you can tie your shoes yourself, or like buckle your shoes.
See, if I knew that was the case, I would like be taking forever to tie my shoes, just like, so I didn't have to start school.
Tie my shoes.
I'd be like, you know what? I've got this figured out. I'm not learning to tie my shoes. I'm wearing flip-flops like I do right now.
Bunny ear.
Yeah, no, it's I just can't figure this out.
But
no
then know what they
me.
Do. They throw buckles at you. They're like, okay,
see,
you can do buckles.
Hitting the buckles, and everybody be like, oh, Peterson's got buckles.
Buckle kid, he can't figure it out.
That's what
I mean. Yeah, no, I feel like that. I we'd have to, you know, fact check me with my mom on that one, but I feel like I was, in fact, a buckle kid. I digress. Couldn't figure it out. That's great. But no, they sent you to school whenever you can tie your shoes and like you know, you can go off. And so I was like 3 when I learned to read. And so really from being like that little,
right.
I was always, my parents always had this rule where like books weren't toys. So it wasn't like, oh, I really want a new book. Oh, you have to wait for whatever. If I was reading them, like I could have them. Like that was the only, that was like a rule in my house, and I will totally do it when I have kids because I was so pumped. Like,
that's,
I loved it.
It makes it a big deal.
Yeah. And so I just read a ton, and I read all my whole life through school. Like, anytime that we had assigned reading, I was always reading something else too. And so it really, like, I've never known any different. And so seeing the ability that reading and these books and then you get older and you form opinions, you read articles and you see how people communicate and you go, wow, like these people are making a difference with the way that they're researching and writing. And you really want to be a part of that. And so I've always kind of written for fun on the side, you know, even when I was younger, as I was writing music as well. And then it's just kind of accidentally taken on this life of its own. Kind of through my writing and that side.
And do you think writing a blog post and reading is, do you think that helps you in lyrics for music, or do you have to find something completely different to pull from? Just because it's a different writing
style. It's interesting. I've been doing more like switching back and forth with it lately just because everything's been kind of crazy.
Yep.
Which hasn't, you know, I'm pleased to have found that it hasn't hindered either writing, which you kind of worry. You're like, okay, am I going to have an, I've never had writer's block in my life, but am I going to have it when
That's
I start
what I was wondering, yeah.
switching gears? And I haven't found it yet, knock on wood. I think that when you write like research-based and opinion articles, especially when they're more reporting and less op-ed, it's just making sure that you breathe the life back into it you go to sit down to write lyrics.
It's easier to keep it in its bucket.
Yeah, you kind of have to go, okay, I remember that, you know, coming up with a fun synonym for something isn't like destroying the message.
Right.
You know, and I'm not being flowery with my writing because I'm distorting what I'm saying. I'm literally writing a song.
Right.
So it's interesting, but the gear shift hasn't been that difficult. It's more just realizing the things that like trigger me and each direction. So like writing an article, I can tell when I've been writing a lot of songs after I read an article or like reading a lot of, you know, there's this essayist I love, Joan Didion, and I read a lot of her writing when I'm kind of doing a lot of both, because she writes very descriptive but still straightforward. And so it's kind of this, I'm trying to stay in between so you can kind of visit each land. Like, it's Disneyland. Visit
right.
each land.
All the lands. So when you're writing music, do you find yourself having more success as of late writing on your own or in co-writes? As of late, not like all the time.
Yeah, lately it's been a lot of me coming up with titles by myself, which has always kind of been my thing. I love writing around titles.
The concepts, the title.
Writing around the concept. I've always been a big fan of writing songs that way. But I think for me, I've honestly been writing a lot more personally lately. Which,
well, your schedule's crazy. So to even line up a co-write that you're not going to bail on somebody is, it's hard enough as it is.
I know, I'm like scheduling like November right now. It's nuts. But it's one of those things where you kind of, you know, you go into a co-write and you bring your, you know, your list of titles and you have them and you're, and it's great. It's awesome. I love writing with people. But what I've been really liking lately is fleshing something out, because I'm writing more like on a really like personal thing, writing about my life more. And I've always written about my life, but it's just more more specifically. It's kind of this veil that you lift off that you go, all right, fine.
Yeah, you've all been wondering this. It's time. So, well, that being said, what is coming for new music? What, like, give me a couple concepts, a couple teasers, so that I know exactly what's going on when you're flipping that veil.
Exactly. Well, okay, so the stuff that we are, you know, it's funny, Love Me was part of that, actually. We hit, like, that kind of stride to kind of, that it made that portion of the project, which is why I'm happy that it was on the kind of, like, This Is Me EP.
Yep.
That sounds so dramatic. This Is Me.
This Is Me EP. It is. That's a quote.
So dramatic.
Yeah. Headline.
Yes, exactly. But, no, we've recorded some of it, but the stuff that's going to come out pretty soon is a lot of the stuff that I'm already doing live. We're getting kind of that put out.
Great.
And then I'm doing two things. I'm going to record the new stuff that is more like this writing that I'm talking about, and then I'm also visiting the vault and pulling some out from like a couple of years ago that probably got lost in the shuffle or just didn't get recorded.
Because how much stuff do you have in the vault? It's got to be crazy.
It's insane. Right. You write so much, and especially the last couple of years, it's just you get to this place where you're like, okay, we can't cut everything.
Right.
Because it doesn't make any financial sense, first of all. And it's just too much. It's so much to promote. It's hard for your fans to digest it.
And like find their range of songs that they actually continue to spin, because this is the music industry, and there are things that you hope for as an artist to elevate you and get you to the next level. And it is a couple, three songs getting a lot of rotation, a lot of spins, and a lot of streams. So it's hard, like, unless you're out there putting out 32 songs an album, like to kind of be strategic about it. So it's got to be frustrating at times to have all of this music that may never be anything but a scratch track in your, back in the day it would be in on a cassette, but does that frustrate you?
You know, it gets to a point where you look at the things that you did cut and you go, okay, I get why we cut that, and I get why we put it out. And I think that's why I'm in this place where I'm kind of looking towards what we didn't cut and going, okay, what did I miss?
Maybe, you know, get a refresher and just kind of bring it back up.
Exactly. Like, I have a song that we're doing live lately that's, you know, we did the last couple of shows, and we're doing it in this show. Yep. Surprise.
That's awesome.
From, like, 2015. I sent the demo to the guys, and I was like, hey, we cut this, in a demo session, you know, just a publisher demo session, like, what is that, 8 years ago?
That's...
And fair warning, I sound like baby,
right.
But it was, so we're digging into
some
of that, which is fun. And it's also with a bunch of writers that I love, you know, and so it's fun to kind of circle back and go, hey, do you remember this song? And they do. That's what's crazy is they go, oh my gosh, yeah, I remember that.
For the number of songs people are writing nowadays, for them to just have some, and again, that must be a reason why it just stuck with you to go back in the vault and grab it.
Yeah, and it's funny because you get to a certain place in life, and then you go back and you listen to where you were writing then, and you go, like, that's That's funny that I was there because I still feel that way now. Right. You know, it's just, yeah, it's interesting. It's like having a time capsule. I was always a terrible journaler, which is journaler. Yeah. I was always a terrible journaler kid. My mom was like always wanting me to keep a journal and was so on me about it. And I wish that I would have listened because I didn't. I was one of those where I was like, well, if I'm not writing something that like I want everyone to read, like right. I just couldn't wrap my mind around it. And yep. I still can't, which is what's really funny. Like, if I'm not writing something that like will change something or help people or like get an article out there or something, you know, my mom's like, you're going to want to look back and go, here's what I did on this day. Or like yep. my dog passed away in October. Like, you're going to want to have 15 years of memories on right. paper with her. And she was so right. I mean, you know, if I had a nickel for every time my
parents
mom was
are
right.
Always right.
And I didn't listen, but at least I have like time capsule of songs.
Right.
So it's been nice to go back through.
Well, it's nice that you're back here for the second yes. for the second time. And since I already screwed up, you've got to come back for a third.
It sounds like I do. I think you guys are stuck with me another time.
You're part of the Interstate Music family at this point.
Yes.
We're always following what you're up to. And I can't thank you enough to just, you're always there for us. You're always supportive of us. And you're doing such great things out there in music and just in life in general. You're a great soul. You're a great person. Just keep being you.
Thank you.
You're pretty great.
Thanks. Well, likewise to you guys. I mean, you guys are always so supportive of me. And I really, it's like one big happy family. And I'm happy to be a part of it.
That's awesome. Well, thanks again for being here.
Yes.
And thank you for paying attention to what the heck we're doing here at Interstate Music. And give her a follow. Give her those streams. Give her all the stuff that matters to an artist. And pay attention to what she writes out there. Good stuff.